waiting for a cat to take a shit.
Scratching around and shit. I think she's done.
Welcome to the podcast.
You, me, and a poltergeist. I am Belinda.
Welcome, poltergeist. Exorcisters. You can't see, but I'm dragging you all in with my arms, bringing you closer in so I can get you in my grasp to tell you all about the things that are haunted and creepy.
I'm literally like, hey, I'm Belinda, and you're like, I don't even have a name.
Oh, yeah, I don't have a name. Call me...
Brayden?
Voldemort. I don't know. So... fun fact, before we started recording, we had three super sweet knocks on our door or one of the walls in our lounge room or something like that.
It was really scary. I jumped.
Belinda doesn't want to talk about it, so we won't talk about it anymore.
No, we can talk about it. It was just really scary and I jumped.
You know who else jumped? Mum, when I went upstairs to see if she'd been knocking. Because she didn't expect me to just suddenly poke my head up around the corner. And she was like, oh, the poor old lady. Mum's middle age. Poor young... Mum's like 20. Poor young woman. nearly had a heart attack. Probably induced by her young age. Yep.
But yeah, there was a significant three like loud knocks.
One of us
is going to end up with three scratches on our back, no, I swear.
No, we are not. I'm taking that out of the air right now. We're not ending up with three scratches.
Yes, we are.
So today we're exploring three...
three?
Oh man, now I'm just stuck on three.
We have two stories for you. German stories.
From the Deutschland.
Deutschland.
Do you ever learn any German in school?
Absolutely not. They only offered Japanese. Shishi. Which I've learned from you.
Lion.
Lion. Neckerchan.
Neckerchan. I learned a little German, but I truly wanted to learn Japanese when I was in primary school. Because when I looked in the rooms that they were teaching Japanese in, they had like... cool, like, kabuki masks, all painted and interesting. And in German class, we had none of that. We just had an old lady who spoke German.
When I did Japanese at school, we got to make, like, veggie pancakes. And they're, like, Yeah, they're one of my favourite things. I passed making the food. I failed everything else.
Couldn't speak a lick of Japanese, but...
Konnichiwa.
There we go.
Kawaii. Imagine. I know a few things. On the gashamas.
But Japanese hauntings will be another episode.
This episode is not about Japan. This is about Germany.
This episode will be, German sort of style hauntings. And the first one we're going to start with is something I'm sure you've probably heard of or, 100% everyone's heard of this.
100%.
Frankenstein.
Bum, bum, bum.
So, before, I know what you're going to think of. You're going to think of some mad scientist pulling levers, electrocuting this weird monster thing that comes to life.
You're absolutely correct.
City village comes with their pitchforks and torches and burns it down, and the monster kills everyone.
It's actually correct.
Or something along those lines. Or falls super in love correct. With someone. Well.
Super correct. All of it. 100%. That's exactly today's story. We're not even doing paranormal comedy podcasts anymore. We're just reviewing Frankenstein.
Reviewing Frankenstein.
Mary Shelley. Is it Mary Shelley?
Yeah, Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley? I get that right.
Bloody hell, nice.
Well, damn, what's your symptoms?
Well, hot damn. So Mary Shelley's Frankenstein story was actually based off of real-ish events. Was inspired by a real person way, 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 way back. I'm fairly certain in the BCs. They built this castle. So Castle Frankenstein was seated 400 meters above Rhine Valley within the Odenwald. a tree-lined mountain range in southern Germany. It overlooked the city of Darmstadt. All names I'm sure I'm butchering without the actual proper pronunciation knowledge.
Wunderbar.
Oh, thank you. I don't know how to say thank you. I just said it like weirdo. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. French.
This castle was overlooking Paris. Sorry. Incorrect. yeah, it was a massive on top of a hilltop. It had a massive view. It was beautiful. In this building, a early sort of residence of Castle Frankenstein, mm-hmm. one of the original Frankensteins, was going off on his way to meet with his lover in his cart. Oh. But along the way, the cart had a terrible crash and he died. Now his missus, who was like, where's old Frankie boy gone? I need my Frank.
Maybe the...
Yeah.
Jimmy. Frank,
I need my Frankfurt right now. I was hoping to get some Frankfurt tonight.
Oh.
This is the bratwurst. anyways, so she was like, oh no, I hate this, and she died. She died.
Oh no, I hate this.
This is dramatic.
If you ever died in a crash, I'd be like, oh no, I hate this.
Yeah, and then you'll subsequently die of a broken heart, like Anne Marie. Yeah, Anne Marie was the name of his lady friend who died of a heartache because it was, this is terrible. So she died, and apparently, old mate's ghost.
Old mate's ghost.
Took me a while. Old mate's ghost wanders Frankenstein Castle looking for her, and she flies around at the top point. Apparently she goes from the ground, flies up to the highest tower, completely naked, because she was really looking for that Frankfurt. Like, this is actually part of the story. She is usually seen completely naked. And from what I heard, listening to they did a Ghost Investigator International TV show there, and the old German...
Do they have
German...
to censor it?
Like... No.
The old... Put some stars on her nipples?
The old German man was describing her, and he's like, oh yeah, she is all naked, very spicy. I was like, oh, that's one way of describing it, I guess.
Very spicy.
That's his type.
If I don't get ethereal. That compliment, then I know I haven't made it.
What yeah, you made it? You made it when you're dead and people
very
call you.
Spicy.
It's all spicy. So,
und ja.
Oh. So she can be seen looking out from the very highest tower for her lover.
Okay, wait.
Trying to cross paths together.
Okay, wait. She's at the top of the castle.
Yeah.
And he's just down on ground level.
Yeah.
Meet halfway.
Just.
She starts at the bottom. Just stop there.
Well, she flies.
Yeah, she shouldn't fly. She just stay at the bottom.
Yeah, well, she's not going to be outside. She's naked. She's going to be inside being decent and spicy.
She's already naked and dead. Just go roam around a little bit, find your lover, pass over. Come on.
Be extravagant, you know?
I think she's just asking for it. She just wants attention. Anyway, continue.
Skip ahead. The Frankenstein line starts dwindling, and we're left with one man named Johann Conrad Dippel Frankenstein. Quite a mouthful.
Conrad. That just reminds me of Cat in the Hat.
I don't remember that.
Are you kidding?
It's been a hot second since I watched me some Cat in the Hat. So, what we were left with as the family begins dwindling is Johann Conrad Dippel Frankenstein, who was born in the castle in 1673. Now, this fella was pretty much the main kind of inspiration for the actual Frankenstein tale.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can, you know, you look at this dude's resume. He has alchemist, anatomist, if that's a thing.
Anatomist. He studied the
grave. Yep. Grave robber.
Yep. That'll do it.
Inheritor of a castle.
Fuck, I wish I could inherit a castle.
Exactly. What this man was known for was apparently he dug up graves, took the bodies into the highest room where he knew no one would be able to get up to him before he could, like, you know, hide what he was doing. He'd dismember them, study the anatomy, and apparently it is rumored by legend that he would mix and mash the corpses in an attempt to reanimate them.
I thought you were going to say mate with them.
No. Well, I'm sure there was probably some of that going on as well. Him. Yeah, he, you know, add that to his resume. I
hope he used a condom.
Necromancer / necrophiliac? That's the word I'm looking for. So,
necromancy fun.
So he was like, eventually he was like, you know what? I'm struggling. Do you know what alchemists want to do the most, babe, back in the day? They want to turn lead to gold because it's so plentiful, and they want to find the elixir of life.
Yeah.
So old Dipple reckons he can get this elixir of life by smashing bones and cartilage and ivory and horns and blood and leather all together into a lovely oil, which was known as Dipple's oil. And he's like, I have done it. I have created the elixir of life. I don't know what that voice is, but it's what I'm singing with. This is Dipple. And he says, "Und, I did it. I created the elixir. Now let me drink my elixir to extend my life to 135 years exactly. This is my calculation." And he drinks his elixir, right? And after he drinks it, he dies.
No
Who
shit.
Who would have guessed it?
Honestly, never saw it coming.
Oh, and this dude, he was seriously ahead of his time. He thought he could transfer a soul from a body to something else with the use of a funnel, pipes, and enough lubricant. Anyways, this is completely not something that's really haunting, but Dipple's sort of oil was distilled and manufactured up until World War II.
What the fuck?
Where it was actually used to sort of make the enemy's water supplies undrinkable without actually poisoning. No, without poisoning the water. So they'd go to try and drink from it and be like,
"Ooh,
this is gross. This is terrible." Yeah. Pull the collar. A whole bunch of soldiers just around around a well.
It's like all anyone gonna hear, yeah. And we're here pulling our collars out, and all they hear is it's really hurting my neck.
So yeah, Dipple thought that bloody oil could fucking cure anything. But the reason they think that this castle, and it is one of the most haunted locations in the entirety of Germany, the reason they think it is so haunted is mainly because of how many bodies he dug up and brought into the castle.
And that naked lady.
Oh, and apparently, there's a cryptid in the surrounding forests. A cryptid is like a Bigfoot or something like that.
Okay.
Which is essentially just Frankenstein's monster. So, not only are those spirits of all the bodies that he's dug up and probably, you know, dismembered and desecrated the graves of, probably haunting that castle. I mean, they got the two spirits of old Frankenstein and Anne Marie.
Waiting for each other, but they're literally right there.
Yeah. Not only that, but apparently the woods surrounding the castle have a number of sort of magnetic stone formations where if you go within those woods, compasses and things just spin everywhere. Apparently witches use these sort of formations for dark magic rituals. Ooh, so it's sort of like not hard to understand why people think that there's like a monster out in the woods. or there's like ghosts there, considering there's so much like strange energy flowing around that place.
Yeah.
And goddamn, Frankenstein's cool. Imagine being out in the woods and just seeing Frankenstein.
No.
7 foot tall, flesh golem.
Well, in the movie and book, whatever, I didn't read the book.
Yeah.
Sorry. But in the movie, he's actually quite sweet and he just doesn't know what's going on. And a little girl teaches him how to read and gives him a potato. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Well.
And then everyone's like, oh, he's a monster. Burn him with fire.
I wonder if Dipple tried to put a soul in him with a funnel.
God, probably. Maybe it didn't work. Maybe he didn't have enough lubricant.
Could be an issue with dead bodies.
No!
Okay, well.
We found the line.
Yeah, I crossed it. The line's way back there. I'm running through that shit. yeah, so lots of ghosts can be seen. Apparently, you know, they can be heard speaking, roaming through the thing. Apparently, old Anne-Marie chucks stones down on the head of people who walk down on the courtyard.
They just look up this naked lady. They see right up her vag. Just the bush of her pubes.
Shooting stones out of
her. Oh, God. Like, instead of ping pong balls?
Beep, beep, yeah. It's a Thai ping pong show, but it's a German rock show. So if anyone asks you to go, anyone asks you to go to a German rock concert,
you say
strongly,
no.
Strongly say nah.
I'll be right. It's all right. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, that's it for the me. I think I don't know. Whatever.
That's your story.
Yeah, I guess. So that's the real story of frankincense.
This is the exorcism of Annalise Mitchell.
That doesn't sound like a very German name.
It is also Amoida.
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 Can you say that name more German?
I'd say Unt first.
Yeah, that helps you get into character.
Unt Annalise. No, I can't.
Unt Annalise.
Unt Annalise Mitchell. I can't.
Yeah, it's a hard German
name.
Don't make
me do things. Okay. Anyway, so this is an exorcism / Moida.
Ooh.
I thought I would start off by saying that The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Requiem, and Annalise the Exorcist tapes are all based off of this story.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Cool.
And I actually heard about this story from My Favourite Murder, episode 66, The Devil's Number. I listened to it the other day and I was like, holy fuck, this could go on my podcast.
Oh, shit.
So, thank you, Karen and Georgia.
Yeah.
So, her full name was Anna Elizabeth Mitchell. She was born on the 21st of September, 1952, in Liebelfing, Bavaria, West Germany. She was born into a Roman Catholic family. Her parents were Joseph and Anna Mitchell, and she had three sisters. They went to Mass twice a week, which apparently is overkill for going to Mass.
Right. I don't even know what Mass is.
I don't know. I am the least religious person in this room. Let's continue. So I'm just going to call her Annalise from, like, here on out because her mum's name's also Anna and I don't want to get confused.
Yeah.
So when Annalise was 16, she experienced a seizure and was diagnosed with psychosis caused by temporal lobe epilepsy. She was diagnosed with depression shortly after and was treated at a psychiatric hospital. In 1970, Annalise suffered her third seizure at the hospital. She was prescribed anticonvulsion drugs for the first time, including Dilantin, which is a medication for seizures, none of which worked. She began describing seeing devil faces throughout the day. That same month, she was prescribed Alept.
Yeah, I'll do.
We'll go with that. Which was a drug used to treat various psychoses, including schizophrenia. By 1973, she's now 21, she began hallucinating while praying and complained about hearing voices telling her she was damned and would rot in hell. The same year, she joined the University of Würzburg, and her classmates later described her as withdrawn and very religious. The treatment provided by the hospital did not improve her health, and her depression worsened. Annalise became frustrated with the medical intervention and the different types of drugs she was on for 5 years.
What were they using? Dipple oil?
Well.
No.
She soon became intolerant of Christian sacred places and objects such as the crucifix. So Annalise went to Sam Damiano? I don't know. With a family friend who organized Christian pilgrimages. Her escort concluded that she was suffering demonic possession because she was unable to walk past a crucifix or drink the water of a Christian holy spring. Sounds possessed to me. This is a direct quote from Father Ernest Alt. Annalise told me, and Fra Hein confirmed this, that she was unable to enter the shrine. She approached it with the greatest hesitation, then said that the soil burned like fire and she simply could not stand it. She then walked around the shrine in a wide arc and tried to approach it from the back. She looked at the people who were kneeling in the area surrounding the little garden, and it seemed to her that while praying, they were gnashing their teeth. She got as far as the edge of the little garden, then she had to turn back. Coming from the front again, she had to avert her glance from the picture of Christ that was hanging in the chapel of the house. She made it several times to the garden, but could not get past it. She also noted that she could no longer look at medals or pictures of saints. They sparkled so immensely, she could not stand it.
Mm.
Possessed. Well, right? Is she possessed?
Maybe she's just
mentally ill,
or she's just been brought up around so much holiness.
Mass twice a week, Roman Catholic family.
Yeah. She's probably been pushed upon her by her parents since she was a young girl.
And suffering seizures.
You know what? Cures seizures. You know what cures seizures?
Exorcisms. Don't say Dipple's oil.
Dipple's oil.
Oh my god.
Get your Dipple's oil here. 20 cents for a litre.
Step right up.
Poison wells. Cure ecstasy?
Cure epilepsy! Both Annalise and her family became convinced she was possessed and consulted several priests for an exorcism.
So she even believed she was possessed?
Yeah.
Okay, now it's different. Mm. Or a cry for help.
Mm. Well, they should have just kept up with the psychiatric hospital. Anyway.
Yeah.
The priest declined and recommended continuation of medical treatment. They informed the family that exorcisms required the bishop's permission. In the Catholic Church, official approval of an exorcism is given when the person strictly meets the set criteria of someone suffering demonic possession. Intense dislike of religious objects and also supernatural powers are some of the first signs of possession.
Tick, tick.
She didn't have supernatural powers, she was having seizures. Annalise worsened physically and displayed aggression, self-harm, drank her own urine, and ate insects.
Oh, God.
In November of 1973, so this is still all the same year.
You know, this sounds like she was on an episode of Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. Maybe he's possessed.
Girl versus mental illness. In November of 1973, she started her treatment with Tegretol, an anti-seizure and mood stabilizer drug. The priest Ernest Alt declared upon seeing her that she didn't look like an epileptic. He didn't see her having seizures and believed she was suffering demonic possession. He urged the local bishop to allow the exorcism. So 2 years later, in 1975, Annalise wrote a letter to Alt saying, "I'm nothing. Everything about me is vanity. What should I do? I have to improve. You pray for me." And once told him, "I want to suffer for other people, but this is so cruel." In September that same year, Bishop Joseph Stengel granted the priest Arnold Renz permission to exercise according to the Ritual Romanum of 1614, but ordered it to be total secrecy.
Well,
red flag, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, the Roman Catholic Church. And their secret arrangements with the young.
Exorcisms.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not good. Renz performed the first session on the 24th of September. Annalise began talking increasingly about dying to atone for the wayward youth of the day and the apostate priests of the modern church. That's all I got. Her parents stopped consulting doctors on her request and relied solely on the exorcism rites.
I think she just wanted to be in a room alone with an older figure.
I think she had psychosis, suffering from, what was it, lower lobe, was it? Where is it? Psychosis caused by temporal lobe epilepsy. I think that's what it was.
Or she's possessed.
67 exorcisms were performed in 10 months between 1975 and 1976.
Jesus.
Each session lasting up to 4 hours and 1 to 2 sessions per week. She refused to eat towards the end.
Holy crap. Mm. That's a job.
That's a fucking job.
Is she getting paid for these exorcisms?
Absolutely not. She was being starved.
At this point, they could have, like, brought in, like, you know, people in training, like, this is how you do an exorcism. How you doing, Annalise?
She's just like the test dummy for like, exorcism.
I'm really hungry, but I'm doing pretty good.
I'm just having a seizure over here.
And they're like, okay, we're just going to throw water.
The power of Christ compels you.
Things may get a bit intense right now.
You'll pass out. It's all right. We've only got another 3 hours and 55 minutes
dribbling
to go.
Like salt in her eyes and...
Fucking hell.
Rebuke you, demon!
You're gonna feel bad.
Guys, what's the safe word? Marmaduke. Marmaduke.
Why would that be a safe word? The Marmaduke. Wink. Yeah. Is that your safe word?
We don't have a safe word. We're dangerous.
We trust each other. You don't trust me? No.
I don't let you tie me up.
Why not? What do you think I do? No.
Or you steal my wallet and you run away.
And I go to Taco Bell and I just get it for me. So, on the 1st of July 1976 in Kilgenberg, Main, Bavaria, West Germany, Annalise died in her home. The autopsy report stated that the cause of death was malnutrition and dehydration due to being in a semi-starvation mode for almost a year.
Wow.
Guess how much she fucking weighed by the end of it.
I'm going to take a swing. 32 kilograms.
You were very close. 30 kilos.
Oh!
Which is equivalent to 68 pounds for our international
That's tiny.
Listeners. Yeah.
She shriveled up to nothing.
She suffered from broken knees from continuous genuflections, which is pretty much just kneeling. She was unable to move without assistance and was reported to have contracted pneumonia. After an investigation, the state prosecutor maintained that her death could have been prevented even 1 week before her death.
Oh my god.
So they just fucking fed her.
She's speaking in such a deep voice.
If they just listen to her to eat and drink, she'd be fine.
Meanwhile,
she would have lived.
Old love's got like the deepest voice ever because she has pneumonia.
So she was 24 when she died.
I thought she was young as hell. I thought she was like, yeah, it's legal.
She was 24 when she died, babe. How old are you? 24.
I forgot my own age.
Oh my god! I was expecting a bigger reaction from you.
Circling back in my head. Do you see this intense web of mouth? Just like...
2019 minus 19.
3.
So she was 24 when she died. Could you imagine?
Oh my god, that's my age.
Wow.
I could not imagine dying at 24 to starvation.
And being in a state of psychosis and epilepsy. Oh. So in 1976, the state charged Annalise's parents and the priests Ernest Alt and Arnold Renz with negligent homicide. The trial began on 30th of March 1978. Doctors testified that Annalise was not possessed, clearly, stating that this was a psychological effect because of her, what did you say earlier, her strict religious upbringing and her epilepsy.
Oh.
Ooh, you were right. But the Dr. Richard Roth, who was asked for medical help by Alt, allegedly told her during an exorcism, "There is no injection against the devil, Annalise."
I mean, I beg to differ.
I mean, heroin.
20 cc's of Dipple's oil!
Dipple's oil! Here today.
I wonder if you can get...
This podcast is...
Brought to you by Dipple's oil! Dipple oil! Poison your neighbors well!
Thank you, sponsors.
Yeah. I wonder if you can get Dipple oil blessed.
What do you mean?
Because then you have some blessed Dipple oil.
Why do you need blessed Dipple oil for?
So I can stop those demons drinking your well water. Of course.
Oh my god. I just imagined a demon just like going to scoop his hand in the water and he's like, oh no.
Bless Dipple.
Rats, not again.
He fell victim to Dipper, blessed holy rat.
It's like an infomercial.
Yeah. You know, they're so dramatic. Cutting regular vegetables is a chore. Like, God, like throwing knives everywhere and shit.
My favorite is the one where the guy goes out to wash his car and he's like holding everything. He's like, oh, just like, you know, like the hose is on already and he just like fucking drops everything.
Loved ones dying, got you down. Need a way to bring him back.
Dipple's oil. With Here's a funnel and some lubricant. Put and exclusively today, we'll send you a cadaver.
Funnel right into anything. The family dog, the cadaver. Whatever you need. Old Lassie will greatly take on your daughter's soul. Imagine doing that with Molly. No. You become one with Molly.
No. No. I don't know why, but for some reason this whole time I've been thinking that you're putting it up the bum.
Oh, God.
So, my butt feels so weird right now.
Okay.
I'm just like, oh.
I was thinking something more sanitary and a little more PG.
The vagina?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
You weirdo.
Nah.
You're a sicky.
Yeah, I got a little bit more to go.
Alright, go on then.
If that's alright.
Yeah, alright, I'll let you
read. Schmidt-Leichner.
Who's this bloke?
Said that the exorcism was legal and that the German constitution protected citizens in the unrestricted exercise of their religious beliefs. The defense played tapes recorded at the exorcism to assert their claim that Annalise was possessed. Both priests said the demons identified themselves as Lucifer, Cain, Judas Iscariot, I don't know how to say that, sorry, Nero and Hitler.
Oh wow, all the good ones.
All the good ones. You can get all the great ones in there. You got Lucifer, you got Hitler, there's Nero. They also claimed that the exorcism before her death had worked and she was finally freed of her demonic possession.
Oh.
No.
But they just kept going. They wanted to use her as a training dummy.
Fucking killed her. So the accused were found guilty of manslaughter, meaning her parents were... Oh, I think it was all of them. Anyway, all of them were found guilty of manslaughter resulting from negligence and were sentenced to 6 months in jail, but later suspended for 3 years probation. The priests were not punished at all, but only given a fine as requested by the prosecution. And that's the end of Annalise Mitchell.
Well, it's sad to hear that someone so young pass due to negligence?
When there was literally priests going, she's not fucking possessed. So, she has mental illness and you need to take her back to the psychiatric hospital.
So that's not a paranormal story at all. Apart from the fact that
exorcisms in it, okay?
Is paranormal. It is still paranormal because they're doing exorcisms.
Well, she probably haunts her house where she died because she probably died in pain and suffering and hungry.
God.
I hate going to sleep hungry, so I don't know how.
Going to sleep forever hungry.
Oh my God, the moans. The isn't actually like her moaning, it's just her stomach.
Imagine that, and she becomes like a ghost that eats people.
Yeah, I'd do that. I would do that. 100%. If you killed me when I... Then I'm assuming you would kill me.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm a bit of a bitch.
But I'm so docile.
Yeah.
Look at this face.
Babe. Ted Bundy was a Sagittarius.
Yeah, well, guess what? Ted Bundy ain't got nothing on me.
How many women have you killed? No. I just think it's very interesting. Okay. Because as we all know and assume and believe, the only way to get rid of demons and shit like that is through praying or holy water or,
exorcisms,
you know, something to do with the church, something to do with religion and around Jesus and God and Lucifer and Hitler. So I just think...
I think it's best sometimes...
I think you're in a cult.
What? I am.
Not you in general. I think, let's get a little bit political. I'm just saying, I think people use their religious beliefs to such an extent that it should be illegal. Or like, it just... Sorry, I bumped the thing. They use their religious beliefs, they just go too far with it. 67 exorcisms on someone who was just having seizures and had psychosis caused by a temporal lobe epilepsy.
I think it's best to err on the side of logic when it comes to a lot of paranormal things.
Yes.
Like that thing hovering across your room in front of your face is probably just a sheet on a fishing line connected to the roof.
But if you go to touch it, you find out it's not a sheet, and it's a ghost. But first you applied logic.
Exactly. You're like, prank. Mm-hmm. You know? You got 3 knocks on your door at 11 p.m.
Like, it was right on 11, wasn't it?
It was. You got 3 knocks on your door at 11 p.m. It's a prank.
Ghost.
No, what's that pink one again where they hit the door and run away?
Knock and run?
A knock and run.
Is that?
It was a knock and run.
Is that what it's called? It is now, okay.
So, in summation, Deutschland has some wunderbar...
Wunderbar.
I don't know any other words of Deutsch.
Elf? That's 11.
Oh, I know plenty of words. Ready?
You know how to say butterfly, don't
Schmetterling.
You? Is that butterfly?
Yep.
Schmetterling.
You don't know how to say ostrich farm?
How?
I forgot. Wait. Straschen.
Straschen?
Straschen farm.
Straschen farm.
Yeah, that's ostrich farm.
Frickin' to English.
So, Germany has cool places to go. Cool places to see. Lots of hauntings. Hauntings for me. And that's where we're going to end it this week.
Is it?
No, I don't know. Oh, guys. Fun fact. We're part of a little network now.
Called TNC. That's not canon.
That's not canon productions, folks. Go there and find some podcasts. There's plenty of podcasts there that are all awesome. I've been binge listening to a few of them. You should go and do that too. So yeah, we're part of TNC now. We're happy to be a part of the family. Go and listen to some of their other podcasts. They're awesome.
They're pretty great.
And, you know, subscribe to some of them and subscribe to us.
That'd be lovely. And share all of our things and follow us on all the social medias like Instagram and Facebook. Just you, me, and a poltergeist.
You can find us both there. And you can find us on all other great places where podcasts are found.
So if you're sick of the app that you're using now and you want to jump over to Spotify, go on.
Spotify's so good.
So good.
On iTunes, you can rate us 5 stars. That'd help.
It helps so much.
That'd really help.
We're always 5 stars. Invite your mum, invite your sister, invite your granddaughter. No men.
This has been a podtogust.
Oh no.
Hey, you like The Sopranos?
What?
You know, like,
no,
in the
don't
end
cut
of
it off.
So, what should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainzi Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you 3 of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring 3 new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.